Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here this week and spend the next hour with you. And, today we are going to, I don't know, this time of year, it's summer. People listen to this at any time of the year at TechCentra, but we just had a heat wave on the Northeast Coast. I'm not in Hawaii right now. I'm on the East Coast. I was up in Manhattan over the weekend, and amazing for resiliency. And thank God everybody's okay. But it's beautiful, still beautiful. It's lots going on. And I hope you are all having a wonderful, wonderful day. Spreading your cheer and serving and giving back. Today, we are not going to discuss real estate. We are going to discuss the beauty in us, our reality. That's a book that Nelson E. Brown, who's our guest today, is going to tell us about, what it means. And you can hear in everything he's doing, he is totally a mover shaker. He's definitely moving things forward. He's a change thinker. I'm just so impressed with him. He's been on before several times, and we're thrilled to have him back. And he's only 20 years old. Oh, my goodness. He's just, his shining star is so light and so bright. And he's definitely a leader for many to follow. He's an environmental science student at the Community College of Baltimore County, getting ready to switch over into his four-year program. He's an activist, an author, speaker, philanthropist. This is definitely an interview not to be missed. He serves, mentors, and gives back in such a way that he's changing lives as he's doing all this. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Nelson E. Brown. Hey there, Nelson.
Hi, Ms. Mullinex. Thank you for having me again on the show. It's been great. It's been such a blessing to just have the opportunity to just network with so many people in various fields. So many people have been vouching for me, and I have so many people on my dream team, so to speak. And it's just been great, just being, now that, people know that I'm in the public eye, and now that I'm able to share my story and I'm able to change the lives of, other men in my predicament and people in general in my predicament, it's definitely been just an awesome experience.
You're definitely changing lives, and it's just amazing all that you've done already. And you have many, many, many years to go. It's just incredible. So tell us about Nelson. Tell us about you. What made you do this? And because what you're doing takes a lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of time, a lot of commitment, and to serve and to do it in the way that you're doing it, it's so exciting, inspiring. Your mom must be super, super proud. I know we've talked about her before on your show, and she's definitely a cheerleader, inspiration as well. Tell us, give us history. Go back and tell us from the beginning how this came to be.
Well, The Beauty in Us is a book series that I decided to establish back in 2017 after I graduated from high school. It's a memoir about how the Beauty in Us, Our Reality, is a memoir about how I struggled with my self-image growing up. And I thought about it after I graduated from high school, and it took me a year to write the book, to get an editor, an illustrator, and all of the people and all the resources I needed in order to prepare it for the summer of last year. And it's just the book series is about male body dysmorphia and self-acceptance. And I decided to establish the book series and this brand and business, so to speak, because I had noticed that in the media, in all forms of media, men and boys, I don't see any men or boys discussing any of their struggles with their self-image in the same manner that females do. And since I did, and since I still do sometimes, I decided to pave my own way and do my own thing and to just, you know, create a ministry of my own in a sense where, you know, I can just open up doors and opportunities for men to be vulnerable and authentic and to just, you know, break through the stereotypes and the stigmas of, you know, men's feelings and to let them know that they matter. And I feel like, you know, generations after me need an outlet.
Yes. What do you think? I mean, Nelson, in our day and age now, do you, because in the old days, yeah, they said men don't cry. It's not good for men to cry. It's not manly to not do this. Isn't a lot of that stigma going away? Aren't we kind of more with women's lib and with changes? Hasn't that changed or no?
Well, I honestly feel as though, you know, there are a lot, I think more in this day and age now, I feel like, I mean, I can't speak for everyone. I just know that, you know, I have no problems with being vulnerable. I cry a lot, believe it or not, and a lot of people don't, you know that. But I've shared this before in my interviews that, you know, I cry a lot, and a lot of times it's tears of joy, and sometimes it's tears of sadness. But I mean,
that's great.
You know, I write. I've created ever since I turned 20. I've created this prayer journal that I have where I just write down my feelings, and it's just my way of communicating with God and just sharing, you know, everything that, you know, I'm struggling with and just everything that I've been experiencing. But I just find that, especially like in my community, in the Black community, a lot of men are conditioned to believe that their pain doesn't matter. And a lot of times people, you know, make excuses saying that, oh, because, you know, he may have been raised by a single mother, you know, he didn't have a father, you know, and people, you know, people think that, you know, you have to be raised in a two-parent household in order to grow into a successful young man or into a successful young lady, and that's not the case. You know, in my case, you know, I did not grow up in a two-parent household. You know, I was raised by a single mother, and, you know, I share this all the time. I shared this with an interviewer that I had this past weekend on the Good Life Gospel Show on Awesome God Radio that, you know, it's inaccurate you say that it's not accurate to say that women can't raise men, because believe it or not,
absolutely,
you know, I think that, you know, women aren't given enough credit for raising boys into young men, because I feel like people have normalized that now, because there are millions and millions of single women out there. There are millions and millions of single women out there that, you know, sacrifice every day just to take care of their sons and daughters, but in my case, sons. And I can speak about it from my standpoint because, you know, I've been raised, you know, with my mother for 20 years now, almost 21 years. I'll be 21 next year. So it's 2 decades of, you know, developing a close relationship with my mom, 2 decades of, you know, just me being able, just having her playing both roles as the mother and the father. And a lot of people who are married with children, they don't understand the struggle. They don't understand what it takes to raise your children as a single person, because, you know, they're not used to not having a person to lean on. You know, so that's why, you know, it's very, very difficult for people to understand. So people can say, you need to just let him be a man and let him, you know, take care of himself. You need to stay out of his business. And it's very insulting, but, you know, you can't, if you've been married to the same person forever, you don't really know what it's like to struggle on your own. Especially,
I agree. I raised my son. I had my son very young. I did marry, and Mullinex is my married and divorced name, but I raised my son completely on my own. When I was a month from turning 18, I left. He was not a good man. We were young. I went back with him when I was like almost 21 and then completely got divorced at 24. And raised my son all the time. I mean, he didn't help. He didn't supply support, nothing. I've raised him completely, and now my son's 40. And so I agree with you. My son, you know, said, oh, I would rather have a father, you know, in his life, and my brother was pretty instrumental. But I hear you, and people don't realize how it is. One year I teased my son. He was probably 12 or 13, and I said, I think I should get a Father's Day card on Father's Day because I'm a mom and a dad, and he did give me one. But I hear you loud and clear. People don't realize, and I think, but I do believe, because my son's father was never a father that, you know, I didn't stop him from seeing my son. He was never a person that was a good father, you know, and I think if I would have stayed with him, given how he was at that time, that my son may not have grown up as well as he did, actually, because, you know, we're products of our environment, right? And if you're around it and you look up to your parents, and I think he would have picked up some pretty bad traits and habits. So I hear you all the way, and I hear, and but people assume and people do things, and I'm so glad that you are doing what you're doing to change that stereotype. So how do your mom, did you ever give your mom a Father's Day card?
I've never actually thought about that, you know, the idea of giving her a Father's Day card and a Mother's Day card. But
she'd probably smile ear to ear. Go ahead.
Yes. I mean, I've never thought about doing that, but I do have, like, a few male mentors that I trust, but I think, honestly, that because, you know, my father wasn't around, I felt like it was very, very difficult for me to trust, you know, other men, because, you know, there are other men, you know, and they're like teachers, you know, ministers, and just people in leadership positions that I did trust in the past that, you know, left
right.
me heartbroken and just didn't really treat me the way I felt like I wanted to be treated. And that kind of like made me put up a wall against men in a sense. But with this book series, I decided to just let myself be vulnerable and authentic. I'm already working on the second edition of the book. The title is supposed to be The Beauty in Us, Vulnerable Masculinity, and it's going to be a book of poetry, and it's going to talk about the beauty as well as the struggles of manhood. And I decided to write this one because I will be 21 next year, and I'm trying my best, you know, to work on myself and to destroy a lot of youthful insecurities that I have. Some I've gotten rid of ever since I released the first one, but that there are still some, things that I just want to clear up. And a lot of times, you know, especially, you know, for men in their young 20s, in their early 20s, a lot of them, you know, they're still trying to find themselves, and a lot of them still don't have any type of direction. So I just think that opens up doors for them as well. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, in your late teens and early 20s, a lot of childhood scars begin to rise. Childhood scars and a lot of childhood memories, traumatizing memories, start to come up.
Mm.
And a lot of men don't handle them in a healthy way. And that's what I decided to do with this. And it's going to consist of a book of poetry about, you know, some of my experiences, some of things that I've learned from others, and just things I see every day. I mean, it's definitely been great.
Tell me, I love it. When you're saying they don't handle it in a healthy way, are they acting out? Are they getting into drugs? Are they just repressing it? What type of things are they doing that you feel that if they would just communicate and not feel funny, be invulnerable, that would change?
Well, I think that when I say, you know, men don't handle, you know, they just have a very difficult time handling adversity in a healthy way. What I mean by that is that, you know, a lot of men, unfortunately, find ways to escape from pressure and to escape adversity. So, you know, drugs and alcohol,
right.
Other types of addiction, you know, having suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
And just, you know, mental health is a huge, and it's going to be one of the themes in this book. So a few things are going to have a little bit of a darker theme to it, but mental health, especially for the, you know, Black community, you know, it needs to be addressed, and these taboo topics need to mm-hmm. be placed at the forefront so that, you know, so many men in these families, you know, won't have to suffer in silence, and seeking, they can learn that, you know, seeking professional help is not a weakness, and it doesn't mean that anything's wrong with you. It just means that, you know, you want to get better and you want to be a better person. And
right.
Also, you know, every man, and I also say, you know, I can't speak for women, but I can speak for men. Every man, you know, has demons in a sense. Every man has
okay.
a weakness. Every man has, you know, vulnerability, something that they struggle with. And a lot of times, a lot of men don't like to share because they feel as though, you know, people aren't going to understand them or people are going to view them as being weak. And I'm just giving them a gentle perspective on how to handle, you know, adversity and a healthier one, not a weak perspective, but a gentle perspective. So that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What age group? I mean, because to me, we had a lot of abuse in my family, unfortunately, and felt the scars from it. And you know, they say the first 5 or 6 years is so instrumental in a child's life because of development, you know, what they're learning, et cetera, et cetera. It just goes on and on. So do you, the age group that you're basically speaking to, are they mainly teenagers, young, you know, adults, and then also 20s? Or are you trying to get to the parents also of these children when before some of these scars come in? Just, I'm asking an open general question, but I know you know, you've thought about this, I'm sure, many times.
Well, I'm trying to make this universal. I mean, my book series, I mean, it's designed for young boys, teenagers, and younger men, and even older men, but I've decided to, you know, include parents into this. This is going to be a book of poetry, so
great.
Topics like mental health, independence, forgiveness, unity, spiritual growth, those are all going to be topics in, you know, this next edition of the book. And even with the first book, it discusses a lot about, you know, family values and how to combat peer pressure and how to distinguish between healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships. And it talks about, you know, different components,
that's huge.
What it means to build character and what it means to be a leader. And this, and the second book is going to consist of the same topics, similar topics. But I'm just my huge target audience is for younger men and boys, but it's really universal. And even though it's for men, a lot of women can learn, you know, from this because, men have a very, very difficult time expressing their feelings openly. And men and women communicate very differently.
Right. You're right, completely. Men don't, women, we ask a lot of questions. We want to talk. We have to vent. Men want to fix things, right? Men want to get to the bottom of it. I'm just, yeah. Or they don't like to always open up and share. Or maybe they want to but can't or feel uncomfortable. Yeah. That's exciting. What they say, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. That John Gray wrote that book years ago. And about our communication patterns are very different.
But, yes.
I think everybody just wants love, though, you know, peace and love and just I think that everybody wants that. Everybody wants to feel important or needed or cared about. You know, they've done so many studies on how love and touch just heals and helps. You know, they've been orphanages in Romania. They, you know, years ago they weren't touching the children and, you know, or giving them hugs or showing love. They were fed. They were clothed, and they showed that so much damage was happening to these children just because they weren't feeling love. And I've heard another study with autism that they were showing that sometimes you can pick it up even when the baby's a baby, and that they typically, when a mother's feeding a baby, they'll look in their eyes and look at the mother's eyes, and some with autism won't look in the eye. And you can get them to start looking in the eyes and help with the autism. It's just incredible what, you know, can be done and love and peace. And it's just incredible how much we need that nurturing, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, right?
Yes.
I'm just, my hat's off to you for what you're doing, because it's a lot of work. What you're doing is a lot of work. I mean, and I'm so proud of what you're doing. Well.
Yes, I mean, it does take a lot of work, but I feel like it's worth it because, you know, I'm making a difference,
yep.
You know, in many different, I'm venturing into many different fields, you know, not just with writing and with activism, but also, you know, this is a completely different business, but, you know, in the world of science, I'm still with MDE. I celebrated 3 years at MDE. I started when I was 17, the Maryland Department of the Environment. I started when I was 17. And
wow.
It's definitely been great. You know, my colleagues that I've confided in who understand my vision and my dream, you know, they're proud of me. My boss, who's mentored me ever since I've been there, he's going to be retiring this fall, and he's been a great mentor, and I'm definitely going to miss him a lot. And even, no matter if I, you know, stay at MDE when I finish college or if I decide to graduate and move up to the federal level, I mean, whatever I choose to do and wherever I go, I know that, you know, he's going to be proud of me, and I know that it's not going to be the same, no matter who's there, because, you know, he's the one that gave me my first job. He's the reason why I am where I am.
Wow.
He's the reason why, you know, I know all of what I know, why I've acquired the skills I've acquired, you know, where I am. So I definitely, you know, appreciate him.
What a wonderful mentor.
And I've shared this with him because a lot of times people don't get great bosses.
No. No, it's so true, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'd love to get you on here with your mother sometime just because of the me being a single mom, you know, raising my son as a single mom all these years and divorced, you know, et cetera, and having to juggle, you know. I never complain. You know, I've heard some women complain and, oh, I can't wait till they're this age, or even husbands and wives, I can't wait till they're out of the house. I savored every minute of it, and it sounds like your mom has too. And it's just never. It's always been the best part of my entire life, raising my son. And we have a very close relationship now as well, and he's 40. And it's just, it's a lot of stuff that goes on. You know, and a lot of it is how we take it and our love of God and faith and persevere, right? And that's what you're doing now, and that's what you're showing the younger generation with writing, your speaking, your volunteering, your work. You're showing that, hey, come on, we can do this. And at the same time, we're living life, right? We're going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to have different feelings, right, about things. And, wow. You're ahead of your time, too, Nelson. You know that, right?
Yes. I mean, a lot of people have shared with me that, you know, I'm so much further. A lot of people think that, because a lot of people who don't know me and who meet me for the first time, before I share with them how old I am, a lot of people think that I'm older for some reason.
Right.
Because of, you know, where I am as far as, like, mentally and spiritually, emotionally. I take it as a compliment, but I do know that, you know, a lot of people, I am open to the idea and to the fact that a lot of people still need that. Especially a lot of, you know, people in their late teens and early 20s, young 20s, still need direction because a lot of them they're still trying to find themselves, and they're still trying to figure out who they are and what their purpose is, and they're still trying to search for that love and for that guidance. And I'm definitely thankful that I had the opportunity to do that. And in the future, outside of writing and, you know, beyond writing and beyond the books, I'm in the process of, and I shared this with you, you know, last time I was on the show, that I'm in the process of, you know, starting a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
That I wanted to debut in the fall of 2021. I've on Awesome God Radio. I talked to the CEO this past weekend, and he's willing to allow me to have my own show on that platform, you know, to reach more people and to lead people closer to Christ.
It's called Awesome God Radio?
Yes. Yes, Awesome
okay.
God Radio.
Awesome.
And
perfect.
And that's just to expand, you know, beyond my books, because, you know, some people don't like to read, but A lot of people like to listen to podcasts, audiobooks, and a lot of people like listening to inspirational people. You know, and a lot of people like to watch shows.
Yes, and it's so much easier because if you're driving, and, you know, driving or, yes, exactly. A lot of people are just have a lot going on, and that's why it's easier for them to listen at their own convenience and take it with them when you're driving, working out, walking. You know, there's so many times now we can do this, which we, you know, I love reading, but it's easier to listen to audio. It's just
right.
Time-wise. Wow, that's fantastic. So you're starting that in the fall?
In the fall, I'm trying to shoot for the fall of 2021.
Okay.
To start that and for that to air and debut. I'm trying to, you know, get my team together.
Perfect.
For that.
You will.
So I can spend all of, you know, next year and the beginning of 2021 preparing for it.
Well, the beauty within us, can everybody buy it on Amazon, go to your websites, tell us also how to contact you.
Well, The Beauty in Us, Our Reality, it's available on Amazon in the paperback and ebook format. It's available on Amazon. It's for the people who are traditional readers that like the paperback version, that's available. Or if you have a Kindle, you can read it as an ebook. The paperback version is $20, and the ebook version is $10 on Amazon. And also, I'm available on all of the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So if anybody has a question, they can reach out to me through my social media platforms, or they can just shoot me an email and contact me directly at brownnelsone@gmail.com. I'm usually very, very quick to respond, you know, through email.
Brownnelsone@gmail.com.
Yes,
I
that's
want to say
correct.
Slower so we can go. brownnelsone@gmail.com. Can also buy The Beauty in Us, Our Reality at Amazon. And then what's your website?
I'm still in the process. I'm in the process of revamping my website. I'm working with my team to revamp my website right
Perfect.
Now. So it's down now, but I'm still working to get that back up.
Right. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. I love it. I love it. So this is your show, Nelson, and I'm just going to let you roll. I tend to ask questions and interject, and I want to just let you roll because you've got so much to tell us, and it's exciting. Very exciting.
Yes, well, I did share, and thanks. I did share earlier on that, you know, I completed my training as a small groups facilitator this past spring for my church, the Messiah Community Church in Reisterstown, Maryland. So I'm a small group facilitator. And yes, thank you. I'm a small group facilitator. And I, with my co-facilitator, it's almost similar to a Bible study where we sit down with a group of people. With our group,
okay.
We have individuals and married couples. And we sit down in a group and we conduct Bible study lessons once a week on a topic. It could be either a hot topic or it could pertain to a sermon that was preached by a pastor or a guest speaker from the previous Sunday or the previous service. So we review that for about an hour once a week on one of the days of the week. And we do that for a few months. And then, like I said, we take a break. You know, we're on our break for this summer, but we pick back up in the fall in September. And it's been great. And because I had individual
married
couples in my
group. Let me ask you, I just
want to
ask you, how many weeks is that? How many weeks does it run for about?
It's from like early April to mid-June.
So it's about 12 weeks maybe, April, May, June, like somewhere when you do it, 10 to 12 weeks?
Yes, a year. That's about right, 10 to 12 weeks. And then it'll be the same for the fall until we go on, like, holiday break between, like, early September and mid-November. And we take a break during the holiday and then come back after the winter is over.
Great. And it's for married couples?
It's for individuals and married couples.
Great.
Well, that's what our group is doing. My group is doing. my co-facilitator and I were facilitated groups with our group with individuals and married couples.
That sounds exciting, really exciting. You're seeing the change too, right?
Yes, and we got our surveys back, and everybody in all of our groups as facilitators, everybody enjoyed them. Everybody enjoyed their sessions. And even like my group members, they came up to me and they said that, you know, I was great. And a lot of people appreciated my input on a lot of topics that we discussed. And I was actually very nervous about doing it because as a small groups facilitator, I mean, you sit back and you let people share their experience on different things that you discuss. But, you know, because I did not know anything about this prior to the training and because I wasn't married, I'm not married yet, I thought,
right.
Okay, I'm not married. You know, I'm not married yet.
Right.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything about, you know, what it means to be married. You know, I'm still in the process of moving towards, you know, independence. And even though I'm doing a great job at it, like,
right.
How am I supposed to, you know, facilitate groups of married couples if I'm not married? But it turns out that, you know, I learned a lot from, you know, the married couples and, you know, my group, especially, you know, from the older generations, what it means to, like, stay married and also what it means to have, you know, like a Christ-like marriage.
Right.
Between,
well,
you know, you and your
spouse. Well, Christ-like marriage, you know, two people become one. Yeah. Right.
Yes,
people
and it's very beneficial
one.
For me.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's beneficial for me because, you know, I want to get married and I want to have children. So, you know, the fact that I have these people, you know, that I can get input from and advice from, it's great. And especially, you know, with millennials, even though a lot of millennials are waiting a lot longer to get married start a family. That's something that I'm still interested in, and that's why it's great. And even my daycare providers, I still keep in touch with them after all these years, and they're
See,
about
really?
To celebrate 60 years.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And, you know, when we teach, we still learn, right? When we're teaching and facilitating, we're still learning because we're, you know, there's so many unique experiences and that connection, that energy and connection back and forth and repetitiveness too of what you've learned, you know, and you know how to teach through the Bible, et cetera. It's just, it's amazing how we keep learning and it's amazing.
Yes.
Wow.
And they're celebrating.
You've got like you've got about a 20. Are they?
I'm sorry.
They're celebrating 60 years?
Yes.
Wow.
They're celebrating 60 years. She got married when she was 19 and he was 21 when they got married.
Mm. That's wonderful. Gosh, that's amazing.
Yes.
That's really
and
great.
And so they're about to celebrate 60 years this September.
Wow. That's perfect. Yep. A lot of knowledge in that marriage, huh?
Yes. And but like I feel like, you know, my generation needs it. Because like I said, you know, in a marriage, you know, a lot of people, you know, you can't be selfish in a marriage, of course. And you cannot just shut off lines of communication. You have to keep what's between you and your spouse between you and your spouse. A lot of times people like to, you know, openly share their relationships on social media and people tell everybody all of their business. And that,
that's terrible.
That is what creates the downfall. Yes, that's what creates the downfall. And also, you know, as a married couple, I mean, you don't really owe anybody anything. You don't have to share your business with anybody when you're married.
No. That makes sense. Well, it makes sense, though, that your bond is a sacred bond. And I think nowadays you hear so many situations where that bond's being broken and people act like it's okay, it's normal. And it isn't. It's every study, every result, everything shows when you break your bond, you're in trouble. Does it mean people may not forgive each other or their husband, wife, spouse, and work on their marriage more? Yes, it doesn't mean they can't, but it's certainly not a good thing. And
right.
So anyway, people realize how sacred that is, huh? Yeah.
Right. And I see all the time, you know, people like to flaunt every day, all the time, you know, they tell everybody their business, and you don't have to tell anybody anything, and because like I said, you don't owe anybody anything. What's between you and your spouse is between you and your spouse. When other people are involved, and when you start comparing your relationship to everyone else's, that is what creates the problem. You know, you can't just shut out all lines of communication. You have to keep that line of communication and trust between you and whoever your spouse is.
So let me ask you a question. Okay, I couldn't help but ask a question. Sorry. Hey, so say, you know, someone say, well, how are you and the kids? How's your family going today? Where are you going? Oh, we're going on vacation tomorrow. Redavy's doing great. Well, one of them's having problems, and this one's not too happy, but the rest of them are happy. And are you saying don't really share things like that, or just not share issues that really could be dealt with privately? Like, what do you? I mean, I'm asking an open-ended question.
Well, I believe as though, you know, of course, you know, you can share great things about, you know, your spouse or about your children, but you don't have to discuss everything as far as, like, how your finances are or how you guys are privately, you know, behind closed doors.
Right. That makes sense. No, that makes total sense. It really does. And I always tell a lot of people that work with, like, lots of times, not every question needs to be answered, right? Just because someone asks you a question, I'm a big question, I mean, asker, because of what we've done with sales and people, and I always want to, you know, to be able to help people, we need to dig in and know as much as we can to help them, in the real estate and motivational issues, things like that. So, but I see what you mean, and there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, that's personal, I really don't want to answer that, or, you know, I'd rather not go there, right? I guess ways people can defer, distract, or get away from that question, rather than just
right.
saying,
I mean,
that's just none of your business, you know, which I
right.
can see saying that too sometimes. Yeah.
Right. I mean, just if you have trouble, you know, in your relationship or in your marriage, you know, counseling is always available. You know, just keeping that line of communication open with you and your counselor or whoever, you know, you guys decide to, you know, go to, you know, for therapy or for some type of professional help. But, you know, a lot of
right.
marriages, you know, suffer because people allow other people into their business too much.
Absolutely. No, you know what? I agree. And a lot of people, though, ask a lot of questions because they want to know. But some questions are just, how you guys doing? Hope you're, you know, whatever. You know, also people do ask because they care. But I agree, it's not really anyone's business to say, how much did you guys make this year? What are you making? How is this part of your life? Da-da-da-da, you know. Yeah. So that social etiquette, it works many different ways, and many people are not not being rude. Some people just care and want to ask, and some people are asking where they shouldn't ask. There's a fine line in life, you know, because you don't want to not speak to anybody. You don't want to not be able to open up and go, life's great and God makes it great and this, you know what I mean? It's a toughie. And I find, you know, I went to the gym the other day and there was a woman, I got a cup of coffee and I was going to go work out and my time is so limited. Unfortunately, I trust God with all my heart, but I haven't, even though I have good time management, I haven't figured out how to manage my time beautifully because I do so much and so many people are coming to me for things a lot and, you know, with the businesses and work and private and so. But the other day I was going to go work and this woman I was talking to, you could tell she was down and she just moved across the country and I stopped and I talked with her for 45 minutes. And of course my workout, I wasn't able to do my workout that I needed to do, right? Because I only had 2 hours
right.
and I ended up maybe getting 45 minutes in, but my heart just went out to her, and I spoke and let her spoke and just opened up. You know how, yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. So there's a fine line with us making sure we're taking care of ourselves while we're still serving and helping. And it's a toughie because the more you do, the more people you know, and the more successful they say success, and I don't consider I don't look at it as success. I look at it as serving because, you know, it's different. But the more you do, there's more people grabbing you, right? So it's an interesting fine line. And that could be a whole nother show because, wow, so what else is on the agenda? You have so much going on. You're going to get switching to a four-year college. You're starting a radio show. You're doing the facilitations. You've got your other series. My goodness, how do you do this time management?
Well, I definitely keep an agenda of my own. I keep a calendar of my events and, you know, the things that, you know, I'm planning for. I keep a calendar of my events, and I told you about my prayer journal earlier on in the show. That's my line of communication, a new line of communication, you know, between me and God, because your prayers always don't have to be verbal or audible. You know, I think that it's great to just write down all of your prayers and all of the things that you're asking God for in your journal so that you can continue to keep that line of communication open. I mean, and honestly, you know, your circumstance, I mean, he pretty much knows your circumstance and what your situation looks like. But like I said, keeping that line of communication open by, you know, writing, you know, your prayers and your requests down in the journal, they don't always have to be audible. Your prayers don't always have to be audible. And I do a lot of that, you know, before I go to bed.
That's a good point.
Yes, I do a lot of that before I go to bed. And even when I wake up sometimes, because, you know, sometimes, like I said, I cry a lot because I'm, like, overwhelmed with joy a lot of the times because I look at all of what I'm doing and, you know, where I have been in the past and, it's just I'm really, you know, thankful and grateful. And like I said, sometimes when your circumstances seem bleak, a lot of times when something great comes along, you feel as though, you know, you don't deserve it or that you're not worthy of having it. So I'd felt like that for a long time. And now that I have tears of joy, it definitely warms my heart inside.
You know, you do deserve it. You do deserve it. I had a lot of abuse growing up, and the theme was always, you deserve to be punished, Al. You deserve to be punished. And I didn't do anything wrong. And those themes that people hear can carry through their whole entire lives, and we really have to work on that. You know, God says words are powerful, thoughts are powerful. We deserve all of it. You know, we all know if something's right or wrong, and when you're doing good, you're working hard, you deserve every bit of the glory and every bit of giving God the glory for all of it as well, right? And I just love it. I journal and I pray a lot, pray constantly. But it gets, you know, life can be tough because sometimes people, when you go in there, maybe you're really successful in one field, there's a lot of the good people, and then there's people that want to tear you down. You know, they say it's lonely at the top, and you're like, why? I didn't do anything. What are they doing this for? And then you think about what Jesus went through, right? So it's really so important to not listen to the naysayers. So tell me, Nelson, what do you do to not listen to the naysayers? I know you've dealt with it when you were little as well with school. Tell the audience what advice you would give people, because I don't care who you are, I don't care where you are, anywhere in the world, and lots of times it comes from the family, our families, more than friends even. How do you recommend people not letting the naysayers steal your joy, steal your energy, steal your plans?
Well, like you said, and I agree totally, you know, I've dealt with a lot of naysayers, and I still do all the time. I definitely feel like you can be yourself and go after what you want, and you can be an individual. You can be your own person if you are comfortable with everybody not liking you because of who you are and what you stand for. If you're comfortable with going against the grain and not following the in crowd, even though other people are, and if you're comfortable with people not understanding what your visions are or what your dreams are, I think that if you're comfortable with all of that, then you can go after your dreams and you can get what you want out of life. Because if you listen to people, a lot of times, you know, people only tell you that because they believe in their hearts that they are not capable of, you know, accomplishing that. And, you know, that has nothing to do with you. So people have to, you know, keep that in mind.
Exactly. Yes. It doesn't.
Because,
it's
know,
funny that when you
right.
pray, I found praying and praying and seeing the mission, it's almost like God gives us all different, we all have different talents and gifts. And it's like we know that mission, you know, when you're praying, like I've always saw me talking and speaking to thousands of people since like the late 90s. And I could knew it wasn't just real estate. And real estate's like the vehicle. It's where to help, to motivate, to serve. And then it gets, you know, so it's like when you know you're on that path and it feels right, we get a peace about it, right? But it doesn't mean we have all the answers. We don't have every single thing figured out because God can change it in a moment. You know, we can be doing so much for so many years, and all of a sudden God could say, hey, I need to use you this way. But all the training that we had brought us to that point because God knows the whole picture, right? And it just gives me the chills because it's not, but it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. And you know the naysayers don't, it doesn't mean anything, right? Maybe, and they're coming from their own place, their own stuff, their own whatever, right? So.
Right.
Exciting, exciting. Yeah. Awesome. So we've got, tell us what we've got, and believe it or not, we have about 14 minutes left. This hour flies by all the time. So tell us if people want to meet with you. Do you think you're going to ever do, like you do the facilitation, do you see yourself ever do like group coaching, maybe doing Zoom class for 30 or 40 people? Or either audio, or it could even be a teleseminar. Do you see that at all in what you're doing? I know you have a lot on your plate.
I definitely want to start a coaching business, and I definitely want to become like a certified leadership coach and start my own coaching business. Before I turn 30, I want to start a coaching
awesome.
Business. Because a lot of people have been telling me, you know, you should be a motivational speaker. You should get paid for everything that you do and this, that, and the third. And I'm like, you know, yes. But, you know, a lot of it, you know, takes time. I understand that a lot of it takes time and it has to be within its time. But, yes, I definitely see myself opening up a coaching business and becoming like a certified, you know, leadership coach.
Remember?
I would like to do that
yeah.
before I'm 30.
That's fantastic. Remember the T-shirts I said on one of the other show? I can see you in a stadium speaking, and all everybody has the T-shirts on. You remember that?
Yes, I do remember that. Yes, I do remember that.
I'm trying to think.
Yes,
I forgot the slogan. I can't remember what the slogan was. I'm sorry. I'm thinking
yes,
what the slogan
might,
was
yes.
on the T-shirts.
Yeah, I might have to. Yeah, I might have to like listen to the interview back in March.
No, I just can't remember what the slogan was. It was really good at the time. Well, I could still see it. But, yeah, it was go for something, go for whatever. I don't know. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, it's amazing. I'm so thrilled with what you're doing. And we need more people like you doing this, especially right now in this time with all the political stuff going on, the division going on, you know, because we're supposed to all love each other and everybody's one. And, you know, there's a lot of issues going on that are just people are so upset if they don't, one person doesn't agree with the other person. And, we need many more leaders like you to get out there and do it. So.
Yes. And
so
and
what
also,
are you doing?
You know,
okay, go ahead.
I was also going to say that, yes, and also, you know, as far as like, you know, in the world, you know, of politics, it's not really about, it's about, you know, serving everyone to the best of your ability. I mean, at the end of the day, we, like you said earlier on in the interview, we all want to be loved regardless of what our beliefs are or what our views are. I mean, you don't have to agree with everyone's views, but like I said, you know, it's about serving everyone, you know, and it's about love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I understand your point.
Totally, it really is, you know. And you look at the animals and kingdom. You just look at so much beauty and peace is out there every day. We can either see the glass half full or the glass half empty, and it's amazing. So we will go. So Nelson Brown, you're listening to Nelson E. Brown. Nelson wrote The Beauty in Us, Our Reality, which is also a book series that he's working on. And he's already doing philanthropy at his age, all by, you know, you've done it on your own. It wasn't like, you know, somebody gave all that to you, right? You're actually doing this, and you're just working through, and just amazing. Activist, author, speaker, I'm very proud of you, getting to know you. And when you see Dominique the next time, will you do me a favor and give him a huge hug and say it's from Natalie?
Yes. I usually see, I see him all the time, so I can definitely do that. He works in a local library of mine, so I see him all the time, so I can definitely do that.
Oh, please do that. And that's a manly thing. I don't care what, all men should be given hugs anyhow, but this one's from me. Absolutely.
Yes. I would also I would like to close by saying that, you know, like you said, you know, I work hard for everything that I have, and now since I'm learning how to, you know, take my seasons of rest sometimes, because sometimes, you know, you can become so busy that sometimes you just still need, you know, times to rest and to take care of yourself and to, you know, unwind. Because of how innovative I am and because of how driven I am, sometimes I just have to just put things in park and to just relax. I'm teaching myself how to do that now.
That is such a good lesson. That's
but
so important.
I appreciate everything that I've worked for and that I've earned for myself. And that's why, you know, I don't let people, especially strangers, you know, deter me from what I'm doing, because, you know, when you earn what you work for, nobody can tell you anything about it.
Exactly.
And nobody can, argue that.
They don't have a right to. No, they don't have a right to. I used to say when someone said, tell me to do this, is like, are you paying my bills? No, I would kid around that because I didn't want to insult anybody, but it's so true. And there's a sense of accomplishment and a sense of freedom and also a sense of confidence that comes in, because when you know and you trust the abundance that's given us, if we work at it, it's there. And it's not all just money or this, you know, there's a bigger, larger abundance, and that's the security that we have. And because fear is not from God, and we all get fearful too, you know. So it's, I love what you're saying. So that season of rest is so important, you know, that time to rest, because it is very easy when you're a go-getter like you and brilliant and wanting to help and serve to go full speed, isn't it? It really is. I know exactly what that feels like, though, Nelson. I've done it too many times. And then you go, okay. And it's funny because, like, where I am, sometimes people approach me with all different offers and things and this going on and this going on and this one wants to do this and get in your business and do this and this. And many times I have to say, hold off, we're not going to make any decisions right now for the next month, or we're not going to get into this. Why? You could get this. It doesn't matter, because there really are seasons. And, you are amazing. I want to meet your mom someday, since when I'm over on this side of the world, which I'm over here quite often now. And all of us, we...
I'm sure she would definitely, you know, love to do it. She's busy too, but I told her, you know, about your show and about your work too, so she knows of you. You know, she hasn't met you personally or, you know, via phone conversation, but I've told her about your show and about your work and everything.
Maybe we can all get together with Dominique too or something, you know, because everybody's got the same, we all have the same heart of getting out there and doing it.
She knows,
getting
she
it
knows,
done, huh?
Yeah, she knows. Yeah, she knows Dominique.
Yeah. He's moving it north. He's great. So, all right. Well, I so appreciate you being here. I can't wait to keep on watching what you're doing and feeling that energy and change, and just imagine all the lives you're saving, right? What's it? God says the faith, with a mustard seed of faith, we can move mountains. And it really takes going through and understanding it and learning and learning and learning to even to realize how real that is, right? And
and
it's
also,
all about people.
And also
it's not just making money.
Right. And also, you know, you have to remember that, you know, just because, you know, you have bumps in the road or you have tests and trials doesn't mean that you're not on the right track. It means that you are, but the tests and trials make you stronger. And like I said, the bumps in the road, just because you have bumps in the road doesn't mean that you're not on the right track.
That is a really good point. Look at how steel's made, right? You know, the fire and the pressure and the everything, and then what comes out of it. And that's a great point, because sometimes I think people will think they're on the wrong track because of some trials and tribulations, and then they'll go in another direction, when if they just stayed with it for a little while, everything would have worked out, right? And I agree with that 100%, you know. And sometimes when doors close, you know, your intuition, and you can feel it. If it's something like, no, I don't want to do this at all, this isn't what I'm destined to do, you'll know that inside. Yeah, I firmly believe. It's nice. So, okay, Nelson, well, give us our last closing words, and I'm going to sign us off, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. So you want it from me?
Do you want to close in prayer? Would that be okay?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to let you do it.
Lord. Okay. Thank you. Lord God, thank you for giving us another opportunity to just come here on this platform, and just thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak to all of the listeners and to the audience and to people who have been following me and my work for quite some time. I still pray for strength, not just for myself, but for others that may be, you know, suffering in silence. And I just pray that you can continue to just open up more doors and opportunities for all of us to just use our passions, our talents, and our gifts that you've blessed us with, so that we can continue to make a difference, and so that we can continue to be the driving forces of change in our communities and around the world, and so that we can, you know, shower this world with love in spite of our differences and our views. And I just pray that you can continue to just bless us with people who are willing to support our dreams and who are willing to support our vision for ourselves and for others as we continue along this journey. And we know that with every test and trial that, you know, you just bring us closer and closer to our accomplishments and to our victories as leaders with character. And we just continue to, you know, just fight this fight, and we continue to just, you know, act as your children on faith, and we lean on you for everything, and we continue to. And we just pray that prayer. I pray that prayer in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate you. And have a wonderful, blessed day. Thank you. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.